Thank you so much for speaking with us a bit. Now, you're a Burlington native, is that right?
I am. I mean, I was actually born across the lake in upstate New York, but I lived in Burlington from kindergarten on through high school.
And then where did you go from there?
I went to college at Oberlin College, and then for graduate work, I went to Princeton, and then I started teaching in various places.
Excellent. So your website lists you as both a clarinetist and a composer. Is that both in equal measure? Do you write a lot of stuff for yourself to play?
I do write some for myself to play and other clarinet players. I guess I consider myself, you know, like 60% composer and 40% clarinetist, something like that. So I consider the composing stuff a little bit more important to me personally, but I also teach both things where I'm teaching at the University of Maine. So I still am an active clarinet player.
You wrote a piece called Before the Snow that the Vermont Symphony Orchestra is premiering this weekend. It's getting pretty chilly down here.
Already. It was like 30-something here in Maine this morning. So,
well, tell us a little about the piece.
Well, the piece is written to go with the Haydn Symphony on the same program. So it's the same instrumentation. So it's sort of reduced winds. The only brass are a couple horns and really no percussion. So it's, you know, meant to be sort of playing within the same restrictions as the Haydn does, although it's a much shorter piece. It's only one movement for about 10 minutes. So what I decided to do was kind of pit the winds against the strings. So in my head, the winds are wind and the strings are the leaves. So the winds are sort of pushing the strings around, and eventually the strings get to be so omnipresent and blowing around in a way that they kind of take over. And then then it's harder to tell the wind from the strings, like at the climax, because they're all sort of, you know, swirling around. But in the beginning, it really is, you know, the winds have their little paragraph of stuff to say, and then the leaves respond.
And as a wind player yourself, was that a conflict of interest in some way?
Well, not really, because there wasn't any clarinet in the section. In fact, when I first started to sketch, I just sort of assumed there'd be at least one clarinet, and then they told me, no, it's going to be flute, oboe, bassoon. No clarinet, because the Haydn doesn't use clarinet. So I actually had to rewrite some things that I had thought of as being like nice clarinet lines and spread them out because, you know, the bassoon has its specialties, the flute has, you know, different specialties, etc. So I had to kind of rethink what the winds were going to be able to do.
You write a lot with electronics. Is there any electronic component in this? I guess it's logistically kind of hard with a tour.
Yeah, with a tour, it really wasn't going to work. So especially because I don't really know the acoustics of the various spaces and, you know, how much amplification anything would need any place. So we decided to just keep it sort of a traditional chamber orchestra for this.
Any final thoughts, things to listen for besides that dialogue between the strings and the wind?
I think that the end of the piece, it's a little bit different texture than anywhere else in the piece because then the snow is really sort of like on the horizon. You can kind of hear the snow. It's coming now. So I think that the end of the piece is not meant to be in the same spirit as the beginning. I think that time has passed and, you know, the season is about to change yet again by the end of the piece.